You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And for this, another opportunity to share in the things that are eternal. And now may the Holy Spirit be pleased to move in our midst in a very practical way in order that we may be energized from you. We look to you now for this cleansing as you take us aside from the hurry and the rush of things, in order that the Holy Spirit may teach us that which is needful. I want to thank you in advance for attending to each detail as it will be needed. And this grace, because we ask it in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen. To pull our thinking together now, since we're coming now to Abraham, we have a new approach in administrative ways of God. We've seen from the outset that God, in his infinite wisdom, created this universe a perfect order. Shortly after that, we've seen a rebellion in heaven and this planet destroyed. How many ages it lay that way, we don't know. Then we see what is commonly called the 6 days of creation, which actually is 6 days of recreation or reconstruction. And then we see Adam created. This is where the controversy comes with the so-called scientists and the Bible. Now, Adam is only 6,000 years old. How old this planet is, we have no way of knowing, because it was destroyed once at the great rebellion of Satan. What we have and call the creative record in the 6 days is a recreation, a reconstruction. Then we saw that Adam, this creature that came from the hand of God, was given dominion, and how he sacrificed that in his own rebellion. And today, death works in the human race as a result of that, because it is written, in all Adam die. In Adam all die. Every one of us, the process of death is at work in us right now. It's a matter of time when we have an appointment with the Grim Reaper. But it's at work in you. However, with the fall of Adam, God made provision, inasmuch as Satan had been the cause of it. He said to Satan, the seed of the woman should crush his head, and that he should crush the foot of the Savior. This told us that God, somewhere in history, would bring someone along who would redeem the human race. Satan knew that. He didn't know who or when, but he knew that. And so for 1656 years, God became the direct government of man. There was no human government as we know it today. At the conclusion, under God's direction, we read in the 6th chapter of Genesis that the imagination, the thoughts of man were continually only evil. This came about because of the interruption into the human affairs by the angelic world cohabiting with men. Therefore, all their offspring became what we know in mythology as the mighty men of old, the so-called heroes of Greece and those other mythical places, such as Hercules and Atlas we hear about. I realize that these are myths, but nevertheless, behind them, where there's a smoke, there's fire. And so, while they've been expanded to be unrealistic, and Satan has done that on purpose to make it sound ridiculous, but these were mighty men of old. Some of the evidences are still in existence. The huge airfields on the mountains of Peru are good evidence of that. Certainly aren't of our time, that's for sure. The mathematical geniuses that built the Great Pyramid, there are others. And I visited the Isle of Rhodes. I think I told you about this once before. You come into harbor there's two huge There's two islands, so you come into the harbor there. One time that had a brass man, or copper brass, stood some 300 feet in the air, but the ships would sail in between his legs in the harbor there. This was man-made. It took quite an engineer to do that. In fact, that brass is all over the city of Rhodes from that thing. They had an earthquake there, and it fell into the harbor, and copper is the brass. I think you'd say, well, of course, copper is the base of it, but you find it all over the city, pieces of that still existing in certain buildings. I suppose if you went down in the harbor there, you might find some of it still there. This was one of the seven wonders of the world. It took intelligence to do that, beloved. Man was not primitive as we think about him. In fact, the matter is, Adam gave every creature other than himself a name. That's quite a chore. Scientific world today, when they find what they think is something new in the way of species, they have an awful hard time finding a name for him. One man did the whole job. In any case, the whole purpose of Satan in the first 1656 years was to destroy the seed of the woman. He didn't know which one. But had he been able to dehumanize the race through the intermarriages with the angelic world, God's redemptive plan would have failed. Only eight people escaped that. Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives, because they had not become a part of that intermarrying circle. They were declared clean. So the civilization was preserved in this way. Following that, God then made a covenant with Noah as they came forth from the ark to establish human government. And we saw how that the purpose of human government was that man should be protected from man. Hence it is written, if a man shed a man's blood, his blood should be shed by man. This is pure and simple capital punishment. This is the only authority for human government. All other authorities derive their source from this one basic truth. Even under human government, though, allowing man to live by his conscience, today people still talk about that. They live by their conscience. Well, this led to one of the greatest rebellions on earth when the Tower of Babel was built. Man's first great unification. For the first time in all history, men all paired the same thing. They only had one language. They were called the sons of Adam. There were no nations as we know them. At that time, God came down and destroyed the city, though, saying that every imagination of their thought would be accomplished if he did not intervene. He did this for their protection. He brought the continents into existence as we know them now. He dispersed the people and brought into existence 70 nations at one time by the fiat of God. You can readily see, though, that this led to a new approach through the administrative ways of God. And we spent a whole week, one weekend, you know, noticing how that the first chapter of Romans tells us of how God set the nations apart. And now today we move to God's selection of one man to begin all over anew. And he makes unconditional covenants with that man. His name is Abraham. So it does not depend upon Abraham. It depends upon God. Notice in the reading of our text, verse 1. Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto the land that I will show you. There's the first I. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and gotten in Haran. And they went forth to the land of Canaan, and to the land of Canaan they came. Abram passed through the land and the place of Shechem, the place of Moriah, notice, and the Canaanite was in the land. Remember we studied about the Canaanite? He was to be the scourge, the curse of God. Why do you think he's there before Abraham is? Satan is anticipating. He heard God speak to Abram back there in the land of the Chaldeans to go to a land that he would show them. And Satan knew ahead of time exactly where Abram was going. And where do you think he put his people? When Abraham got there, what did he find? He found the devil's crowd already there. They go ahead of us all the way. And Abram passed through the land of the place of Shechem, the plain of Moriah, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And he builded he an altar unto the Lord, which had appeared unto him. And he removed from thence and the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of Jehovah. You notice that every time God says anything to Abraham, Abraham believes. He acts upon it. Never know what you don't have any qualms on Abraham's part. Hence we read in the 8th chapter of Hebrews, 11th chapter of Hebrews. You turn there. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, notice, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, what did he do? He obeyed. You find this is the criteria of Abraham's life. He obeyed. And this is what God expects. Obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. That's right. That's a lesson we all have to learn. Obedience is better than sacrifice. In fact, obedience leads to the abundance of things so that you don't have to sacrifice. God's going to provide the sacrifice, not you. He's already promised way back under that man's fall that he would provide the sacrifice. Abraham obeyed. Now, the first statements to Abraham are very broad, but they become more specific as we read through Genesis. And we're going to be dealing next week with the specific things that are included in what God said he would do for Abraham and his seed. Now turn, if you will, quickly to the 9th chapter of Romans. Romans gives us a summary of the traveling of that promise to Abraham. The 9th chapter of Romans, beginning at verse 4. These are the people that finally wound up as the receptors of those covenants made with Abraham. And we'll be looking at that next week and traveling and see it, the specific things. Who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption and the glory and the covenants, the giving of the law and the services of God and the promises. And the promises, notice. Whose are the fathers, of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who's over all, God bless forever. And not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they're not all Israel who are Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. The children of promise are counted for the seed. And this is the word of promise. At that time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calls. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. And it is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Turn now quickly to the 49th chapter of Genesis. Jacob is dying. The promises have all been put into the hands of Jacob. We'll be looking at those promises next week as we look at the things specifically that God said from Abraham to Jacob. But as Jacob begins to die, chapter 49, Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. That's very important to us today because we're moving into that particular period of time. If you read that whole chapter, you'll find that all 12 of Jacob's sons are referred to there, what God is going to do for them, to them, and through them in the last days. Now, the thing that's significant about all that is this, that, as I say, these details will be dealt with next week, but just in passing so that you see, it won't leave you completely blank. All the promises that God made, every covenant that he made that has any bearing at all on things that were given to Abraham, with the exception of the one covenant that was made with Noah, which had to do with human government. Let me repeat that. All the covenants of the Bible that have a promise for the future were given to Abraham and his seed, with the exception of one covenant which was given to Noah, which had to do with human government. That's why we read in the 9th chapter of Romans that the promises were given to Israel. Now, God's purpose through Israel was that they might become a channel of blessing to the Gentile nations. But since they rejected it, we poor Gentiles, since they did not become what God had purposed for them, we Gentiles, as we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Ephesians 2:11. Paul is calling that to our attention. Ephesians 2:11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now hold that just a minute, look up, and we'll come back to it. When Christ died on that tree, the nation of Israel had rejected their Messiah. Fortunately, however, our Lord cried out on that tree, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And for 33 years, the word of God was concentrated to that nation, beginning at Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part, till every Jew on this planet knew exactly what God intended, expected of them. They still rejected it. And when we come to the 28th chapter of Acts, I repeated this so many times, but some of you may need to be reminded. when Paul arrived at Rome 33 years after Calvary, he called for the elders of Israel. And he said, and I quote, "For the hope of Israel am I in this chain." And he preached to them from early morning till late at night. That's the longest preaching session in all the Bible. Can you imagine holding anybody's attention for 12 hours? And he preached to them from the law and the prophets concerning the kingdom, which was the hope that Israel had in all the promises of God as according to Abraham. He says, when they could not agree among themselves, Paul then quoted a prophecy from the book of Isaiah. He said, "You have eyes to see with, you have ears to hear with, you will not hear. Therefore, be it known unto you that this salvation is not authorized to Gentiles, that they will hear it." From that day to this, God has set those promises that to that nation aside. And we have, in the book of Ephesians, the first letter written after that pronouncement. An entirely new administration of God, just as it was with Abraham, was a new administration. God today is dealing in a new administration. Look at chapter 3 of Ephesians. "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the hope of Israel." That's right, for you Gentiles. Did you know from Genesis to this point in time, God never addresses the Gentile nations per se? Till you get to the third chapter of Genesis, Ephesians. That's why Paul reminds us in the second chapter of Ephesians, "Remember now, you Gentiles, you were without hope. You were strangers from those covenants of promise." Look, however, at verse 13, chapter 2, Ephesians. Ephesians 2:13. Look at it close. Look at that big word, "but." There's a disjunction, you see. That's one of the most important words in the Bible. To those who've never heard me say this, I repeat it again. Learn, go through your concordance sometime and take the word "but." You'll find that it's a wonderful word. It always leads into that which is something that you ought to want. But now, notice, we were strangers, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off or made nigh to who? Made nigh to God. How? By the blood of Christ. Consequently, notice verse 14. He, Christ, is our peace, who hath made both one, Jew and Gentile, having broken down the middle wall of partition between us, and abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained the ordinances, for to make himself of the two, Jew and Gentile, what? One new man. Is a new thing. Paul refers to it in the 10th verse, notice, of chapter 2. Here's what it is. We are, the 10th verse of chapter 2. We are his workmanship, created, not reformed. God is not reforming us. If he were, we'd be in pretty bad shape. Because my old nature is just as rotten as it ever was. Thank God, however, he's brought into existence a new creation. Just as Adam was created a living soul, I have now been quickened to have a living spirit. Thank you for that, Lord. One day it will be manifest in his glory, and I'll look and be just like him. This is what true wholeness is all about. We're going to see that tonight more. But anyhow, we've been created in what Paul refers to as a new man. And you'll notice again in Ephesians 4:13 what this ultimate end is of the new man. And beloved, Paul calls this a mystery, a sacred secret, something that is not the subject matter of anything ever written prior to the Ephesian letter. Let that grab you. We'll see that in a minute. Notice the ultimate purpose of God for you. Verse 13, Ephesians 4. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. How much disunity the faith is there now? Boy, we got faith on every door, we got a different name. But notice, till we all come in the unity of faith or the knowledge of the Son of God unto, that word perfect man there is a mature husband. Unto the measure, and what is a mature husband? Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Boy, that's a mouthful. That word fullness there, again, a word that Paul plays on to know it, just almost ridiculous how many times you... But that means to fill it to the full. Nothing can be added to it. You see, nothing in the Bible, anywhere, prior to the Ephesian epistle, ever brings man up to that height. This is why Paul calls it in the third chapter. I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you heard the dispensation of the grace of God which was given me, how by revelation he made known unto me this secret, this sacred secret, calls it the mystery, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. Boy, I'll tell you, this ought to just take a hold of you. Most of you here knew about this from other teachings, but some of you don't. And I want you to see the contrast of what God is doing now, that is no unveiling of it in those promises back yonder at all. And it came about because Israel rejected her Messiah. What became a curse to them has become a blessing to us. Now, another thing you'll note in your studies is that all the promises of God from Genesis up to the book of Ephesians are in a different context entirely. The context of all the prophetic scriptures are from the foundation of the world. The context of the sacred secret, the mystery, is stated in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all or every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Now notice, according as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. With what in view? That we should be holy, without blame before him. In love he predestinated us to sonship. This is something, beloved, that no prophet ever knew anything about. This is something that is a brand new revelation right straight from the heart of God to the nations. That's us. Today, God is not dealing with any nation. He's dealing with individual people, and that alone. No nation has a hedge around them today. God is not mad at anybody. He's dispensing one thing, and that's grace. That's why we read a while ago, if you heard the dispensation of the grace of God. God is just dispensing grace. He demonstrated it by his love toward us in the pouring out of his wrath from heaven upon his great Son. So that every sin, from Adam to the consummation of the ages, was poured out upon him in that 3-hour period from high noon till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. In 3 hours' time, all the sin of the ages was pressed into that capsule. Now, that's pretty hard for us to understand. And yet, To the Western mind, this is hard to understand because we live by the clock. We were talking a little bit about this morning in the study of the stars. Did you know we're the only culture on earth that lives by the clock? The Western mind, when I use that term. That's why we say time is money, you know. It's very important. But what are these? All other cultures live by events. Women are sort of like that. They don't live by the clock. They live by events. This is why when you... when your wife said, you said, you're looking at your wife, she's not ready yet. She says, your husband's standing at the door. He said, honey, come on, we're going to be late. She said, all right, I'm coming. And 30 seconds go by and she's not there. Now, she never wasn't lying at all, but it's 10 minutes before she gets there. You know why? To her, that's an event she's going to. She doesn't care about the time. She's talking about the event. You know, that's what's on her mind. That's why they're always late. It doesn't go with the clock. Now, I will say this. The liberated women are coming up to be like men. That's really something like that. They want to be equal, you know. They want equality. Men are the only one that copy the Western mind. They live by the clock. Women copy the cultures of the world. They live by events. But men, women are becoming equal now, you know. You got to have everything like a man. They're just copying men is all they're doing. My, you never had it so good, beloved. You just don't realize it. You have to live by the clock. When you're late for work, you're in trouble. You know, even the Indian culture in this country, Indian doesn't live by the clock. He lives by the events that's going to happen in his calendar year through the events. That's what he looks at. He doesn't look at the clock. He looks at the moon when he wants to know what time to plant things. He don't look at the clock. He knows at a certain time of the year they have a rain dance. He's not by the clock. It's an event, you see. Because the Indian is not from the Western mind. Goodness gracious, it's 12 o'clock. I tell you, it just gets away from me. Huh? Anyway, we'll pick it up there next week. And we'll begin to look at specifically what these promises are that are now in advance. When God has fully selected from among the nations a people under his name, then God's prophetic clock will begin again. And God will accomplish this time what seems to be a failure in the past. It was no failure. The only thing of it is that those people were living in the period of God's promises according to his revealed will. We are the people of his hidden purpose. However, it was no afterthought on God's part. Because his hidden purpose was worked out before his revealed plan was made known. This is why you find Jesus say, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. We were the last ones to come under the revelation of the revealed of God's hidden purpose. But we're going to be the first one to come into his blessings. Israel, who received all the promises through Abraham, was the first to receive the promises. But they're going to be the last to come in. Think about that. No wonder Paul said, oh, the marvel of God's wisdom, how untraceable, how untrackable are his ways. Father, thank you again for the word, for the fellowship we have in Christ. If there's somebody here who has not come to a full knowledge that the blood of Jesus Christ has drawn us nigh to God, may the Holy Spirit do his office work now in making that one come to rest in Jesus. Make him restless till that becomes a reality. His grace because we're asking in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.